Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket podcast coverage of the TBT 2020. It's win or go home, and $1 million US is on the line, and the winner takes all. My co-host, Andrew Canyon, and I will be watching and breaking down every game from the tournament from an NBL and Australian perspective. Follow me on Twitter for NBL and TBT updates. That's at NBL Pocket Pod, P-O-D. And follow Andrew too at Andrew Canyon. That's Canyon, C-A-N-I-O-N. Are you in the business of buying a book? Try Booktopia. They have nearly 1,000 entries under the search basketball, but they have more than just sports books. They have everything and are based out of Sydney, Australia. Use the link in the description to help the podcast if you'd be so kind. Also, in the spirit of helping the show, rate, review, and subscribe. Any combination of all three is much appreciated. But right now, let's jump into it. Andrew, where are we at? TBT, day 8. We're going to go through it. We had two games today. Heard that, Overseas Elite and Sideline Cancer and Bayheim's Army. Before we do that, though, some news out of the TBT. Ebelin Drive, the team that Jerome Randall made famous and that featured former Wildcat Jaren Jackson, he's put out a tweet or Instagram post about having, he was the positive test that meant that that team had to withdraw. That was why Brotherly Love, who you covered in the episode last time, thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
That's why they got an immediate entry over to the next round. They were set to play each other and withdrew. So he's come out and said he tested positive, but in a strange twist, he gave 4 negative results to COVID, then gave a positive test to COVID. The team was disqualified. He then went home, gave another test, to which again turned out to be negative, that he didn't have COVID. So it's this weird situation of false positive, maybe 4 false negatives, maybe he had it, maybe didn't, different symptoms. So very interesting story out of that team. But we were both looking forward to seeing him, weren't we?
We were, yeah, and very unfortunate. I guess they knew the rules going in, didn't they, that if you had a positive test, you were out and the whole team was eliminated. Mm. But you still don't want to be that guy that causes your team to be eliminated. And then if there's questionable results, perhaps, if he had a bad test or a bad, you know, a result that wasn't maybe 100% accurate, gets your whole team eliminated, that's a lot to carry. But they're all playing by the rules. It is what it is. I'm curious to know what sort of testing they do, though, because they're doing it daily.
Saliva.
Australia, they're doing swabs, aren't they? You've got to do the nose swab.
You would think the nose swab, just by how invasive it is, you would think it's more accurate. You wouldn't do that if they were similar. So maybe there's a false thing on the saliva that's not present in the swab. I don't know enough about it to comment, but one would think.
No, I'm not a biochemist or whatever the
epidemiologist. If you're an epidemiologist listening to this, boy, this is your time. This is your Super Bowl Christmas rolled into one.
Get the hotline. We've got the phone call. We need somebody to ring up.
Epidemiologists.
We need some insights.
What was the other piece of news you had for me?
I had some NBA news, actually.
Yeah, TBT, bubble, let's hear it.
Yeah. So it was, look, I've got to give a shout out here, courtesy of Adam Westerhout from at Full Court Fitness on Twitter. He runs a great show. I've actually been a previous customer of his back when I wasn't quite so unfit. I would run up and down the court and he would yell at me for an hour or so. Get on board if you want to keep a bit of fitness as you get older. But
if I can just quickly jump in, sorry, that piece of news about Ebelin Drive and Jaren Johnson, that was sent to me by Nick Tan. So if I can give him a tap on the shoulder as well.
Oh, good. It's nice to report our sources. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Adam tweeted Matisse Thybulle, a NBA rookie who has Australian connections playing for the 76ers, has started up what seems to be, what I hope it might be, is an ongoing vlog of his time in the Disney bubble as part of the NBA preparations. Really interesting insight into what those guys are going through, but also it's from the perspective of a rookie. So we see him having to go buy Chick-fil-A for the entire team. We see him copying a bit of Raz.
That's great.
And then we see him interacting with some of the more, you know, superstar level players, the 76ers. Really, it seems like a really
phone or by crew.
It seems like it's him doing it, but he does have pretty decent gear. It looks like he's using an SLR camera with a full, so he's geared up. He hasn't just, it's not just iPhone quality stuff here. He's doing a good job of it. I hope he keeps it up. It'd be a bit of an effort. So maybe he's got people behind the scenes doing some editing.
If he's not a video game guy, that would replace the time spent into those, which is every Twitter and Facebook and all that has been littered with every NBA player's gaming setup is the quote. But it looks like Thibault's doing something different. Of course, named after the artist, Henri Matisse, who was sort of Picasso's friend but rival, I think. And he did that sort of abstracty, weird circles with squares and a few colors and fine lines.
Not my style of art, I have to admit. But
No, not mine either. But they were, he was, him and Picasso was like Jordan and Barkley.
Just going at it. Take my masterpiece. Well, I see exactly. Your masterpiece and I raise you this one.
That's exactly right.
So, interesting watch. Yeah. I encourage people to take a look at it.
I will. I haven't seen it yet. I definitely will. Jump on to NBL news.
Yes. What's happening in the NBL?
Well, Illawarra's consuming most of the headlines. Emmett Nah, looking like he's going to, or reported that he's going to return to Illawarra. Also reported Angus Glover going to Sydney. Not interesting two titles to lead NBL news with, two guys who probably combined average, what, maybe 10 or 12 points, 5 or 6 assists. Not exactly game breakers. And I just find that strange. The Angus Glover one in particular, like, oh, he's moving to Sydney, Angus Glover. And people are like, oh, there goes the heart and soul of Illawarra. There goes this. Oh, Sydney have picked up. And no offense to Angus Glover at all. Young player, coming back from injury. Great little story of his own. But you know, 6 points per game on a 5-win team, you know. Got a few nice, you know, skill sets, but nothing to write home about.
I remember when Glenn Saville did the same thing. Left the Gong, went up to play for Sydney. There was an outrage. Fair enough too. He was heart and soul of the team. Star quality, you know, legitimate boomer. He was a good player, you know, one of the best Aussies in the competition. I can appreciate that would create headlines. Angus Glover, he's not
a nice player. Level.
Yeah.
No.
He's got some potential. Has done well. He fought back from a number of knee injuries. He's put in the effort, but effort doesn't equal results. And so far, he hasn't shown enough that I would see him as being, headline news. Yeah. What a coup!
And the other thing that jumps out to me, this is like, they're not going to start Sean Bruce, are they? If Casper Ware's opted out, still no word on him. Could they be? Would Glover sign on to the Kings if they had told him you're going to be Sean Bruce's backup? Or is he more of a two? I saw him as more of a one, but what do you think?
Glover, I thought he was more of a three.
Okay.
Plays
opposite. I don't know. I didn't watch that game terribly closely. Who could? I was like looking into the sun. No, thank you. Jump on. The other news. Oh, unless you got something.
No, I was just going to say, like, fair play though. Like, anytime you can have a ranger in the league, you want that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not sure he's not going to hold down starting minutes, I don't think.
No. But decent player. I don't think we're being too rude on Angus Glover there. The other one is, and I hope I'm going to try my best with this surname, Dejan Vasiljevic. Hope that's right. From the University of Miami.
Vasiljevic
sounds a lot better. Pardon me. That's a little better. From the University of Miami, apparently a multi-year deal with the Kings. Again, reported. This kid is a bit more interesting. Looks like he could occupy a Didi Luzada type role, 10 to 20 minutes. The one thing that I think does translate over from young players is shooting. Decision-making, not so much. Durability, endurance, not so much. But shooting, if you can shoot it at 21, it's the same as shooting it at 31, I think. So it's a good skill to come over, and he looks like that type of player. But what's interesting about this report is there was a reply on Twitter from one Ivana Vasiljevic, in which she replied, "I would love to know your source." Now, I don't know if he has a sister called Ivana or if there's another set of Vasiljeviches out there, but I think they are related. And she said, "I would love to know your source." So
calling him
that
into casts doubt.
Us into doubt. And he does look like a guy who could make the jump to Euro, probably get a bit more money, probably even get guaranteed minutes there. I don't know. I don't know his game so well, but what do you think?
Well, yeah, I know really nothing of him. I've heard his name thrown around the place.
Heard it, seen a few highlights, but if I've seen more than 4 minutes on this kid, I won't lie.
Yeah, look, it wouldn't be surprising if he has some sort of dual passport arrangement where he can play in Europe as an unrestricted player, which may result in some doubt. Having said that, I think I could see him being in the NBL. The question I have, and I have absolutely no, the only other Vasiljevic I've ever come across is Pero Vasiljevic, who played in the league many, many years ago. I don't know if you remember him. He played he played for Canberra. And I'm wondering if there's any relation. Is this like a Drimmick situation where brothers, two brothers seem to be 20 years apart, or is it just a common
Well, name? How common a name is Vasiljevic? I've never seen it before today, so that's something to look into. We'll have a look into that.
Pero Vasiljevic, he was a funny guy. He when he was young, he used to dunk everything. He was like a 6'9" power forward. Loved the dunk, loved to shot block, but wasn't probably can I say this? Can I be a little bit harsh?
Do it.
Maybe not the sharpest tool in the shed.
That's a kind way to put it. Yeah.
Well, he had his own name tattooed on his arm. It was before the era of lots of tattoos, but he just had Pero tattooed nicely on the side of his arm. And it was always just a question, is that there to remind him who he is?
Fair point. No, that's never a good look.
I'm sorry, Pero, if you're listening, or Dejan, if you're related.
The other NBL news, Cairns. They're going to play their games in a 2,000-seat abandoned Bunnings warehouse. Good move, bad move, Andrew? How do you see it?
I'll just go for the sausage sizzle.
Do you think they'll do that? That's great.
You have to, don't you? I mean, you got to respect the origins of the building. Yeah. Smart move. If you're going to lose your stadium, you've got to find another option, and you can't go playing games in Townsville. That just wouldn't work.
No, that would be worse. I think we were talking about this off air. If this is done right, this could be a funny, charming, unique thing for the NBL and Cairns. I think it's only a 2-seat arena is my only gripe, because what does 2,000 like? Okay, so it's 2,000 max, but if you've got COVID restrictions and you can only do half that, then you're looking at 1,000 people.
I was wondering if 2,000 is its max. That's not its COVID capacity. That's the number of people.
It just said 2,000 seater. I assume that's its max.
Right.
You wouldn't put out a press release saying, you know, it's COVID max. You'd be putting out all the positivity you could. And if it had 4,000 in it, they'd be saying 4,000.
Yep.
I mean, as we were saying, if it can be done in a charming way, if they just sort of palm this off as, no, it's a fine stadium. This is perfect. It's as good as Curtis Bank Arena. They do that, it's going to look hammy. If you just own it and say, yep, it's COVID, it's a Bunnings warehouse, it's converted, we're having fun anyway. Yep. That's the way to go about it. Do you agree?
I do. And I think the one thing we've probably learned from this COVID time is you can make a game successful without many people in there. If you frame it right, if you make it look good, if it looks just like literally a Bunnings warehouse with big overhead gantry lighting, you know, and some concrete floors, it's not going to look right. Mm. But if you dress it, if you get the lighting right, if you put the people in the right position around the court, I think it could create quite a nice intimate environment.
Mm. And if you do something unique, put a signature on it. Don't try and just copy what they did at the Cairns Convention Centre. Do something different. Own the space. Actually really sit down, look at what you've got and think about it. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Next piece of NBL news. Trevor Gleeson via Craig O'Donoghue, who I believe writes for the West Australian, or the West. I don't know what it's called nowadays.
Don't look at it too often. It's journalistic integrity. Sorry,
Nick Kay. It's got quotes from Trevor Gleeson about Nick Kay, and the big quote that I took out of it to paraphrase it and trim it quickly, when he's talking about Nick Kay and the replacement for Nick Kay, he writes, it'll most likely be an import position. So they'll be looking to replace Nick Kay with an import. That says to me two things. First and foremost that, Tarico White, presumably they're not progressing him. They're not looking to sign him aggressively, nor are they looking to re-sign Plumlee. You know what I mean? If they had said it was going to, he would have said, we're replacing his spot with Plumlee and we're going to kind of shift a little bit. But, Plumlee's not a four. He's not even close to Nick Kay.
No. They need,
we saw this coming.
They need points production in that spot. They've got to find
inside, outside too. You need that from that spot nowadays. And Plumlee was never their guy for that.
No.
But as I said, no surprise. You're not surprised that Gleeson said this, have you?
No, I think it's confirmation of what we all suspected. I think COVID provides a clean opportunity for them to make a break from Tarico. I think he had probably served his purpose anyway. Going down to two imports, it would have been tough anyway. Losing Nick Kay, having COVID, it's a really obvious way to say it. Tirico, we'd love to have had you back, but it's not going to work. Thanks for your time.
And I've been a big campaigner for re-signing Tirico, even if they, I mean, Angus Brandt's name's been thrown around. Let's say they got Angus Brandt, signed him back.
Yep.
Would you still be comfortable with a lineup of Damian Martin? Let's say he comes back just for sort of convenience sake. Martin, Cotton, Tirico White, Angus Brandt, and a little bit of Majuk, a little bit of Wagstaff. If that's your crunch time five of Brandt, Wagstaff, Tirico, Cotton, and Martin, are you happy?
It's not enough. They need it's a bucket getter. Angus Brandt is a back to the basket. He's a Plumlee replacement.
And I hate to be positional, but he's just not a front of the basket player face of the basket player at all. And I think that's what they really need.
No. There's plenty of guys in the TBT that I think would do.
Well, next question for you. If I said to you, Perth Wildcats need a power forward from the TBT, go, give me one or two names.
Okay. First name that pops into my head is Dorm.
Dorminator.
Mike Dorm.
Mike Dorm from House of Pain.
House of Pain. I thought Coakley today from Heard That. Yeah,
we'll quite liked him some more, for sure.
And look, and if Joe Johnson is looking for a gig, he doesn't need
6'7", he could do it. Likes to bit of back to the basket. He's a bigger body than I thought. The other one who we did like early on, it was actually knocked out ages ago. He's just unfortunately signed in Europe, but it was Pap or Hap. Remember him? H-A-A-P?
Yep.
I forget who he played with now, but he was a guy who just looked sprightly. While you're talking, I'll look through my notes. Where did he come from? So many players, so many teams, so little time. Probably should have researched this before I jumped.
That's all right. So I think
really early in the
but team. I think while you're researching, they need somebody who can rebound the ball, but they need somebody who can create their own shot. At the moment, it's all Bryce Cotton. You're not going to get creativity from Jesse Wagstaff or Majuk. You need somebody who can maybe put the ball on the floor a little, can attack, but can also then step out and hit the three. So you're basically asking for that all-round player. Difficult to find, but I think there's enough of them out there that they could get somebody.
Anyway, I can't find him, but that guy would be handy too, but he's already signed, so it's really moot on about four different levels. But that's all from NBL News. Let's jump on to overarching questions we had or thoughts that we had coming out of this day's play. We were talking about commentary, and we had this, I think, a couple of episodes ago where we thought the NBL is already doing commentary remotely, right? And they do it in this hub in Melbourne. There's no reason why they couldn't take that hub everywhere. And that sort of got my mind thinking why they wouldn't, when they're in Cairns, have guys, maybe not at the game, but even in some sort of hub in Cairns, and it's, Alex Loughton, Nathan Strimple, I think he lives there or did at one stage. Mark Worthington lived there, don't anymore. But, whoever they want from Cairns to do the games, they could do it in their own office, put a little green screen up, have multiple hubs all around the country, give it that more, unified experience. We both like that idea, but the question that came out of that was, who do we like? If you could go international with this thing, what commentators would you get from anywhere in the world? So that's the question I have for you, Andrew.
Yeah, so look, we were talking about who do we like in our all-time commentators as well. Now, and I was saying in the NBA world, I grew up listening to Marv Albert. He's got a bit of a checkered history now in terms of his personal life, but Marv Albert, still great. I think with the NBA commentators, the thing I struggle with, I know their voices. I don't always remember their names. So you might need to help me on that one.
No problem.
NBL wise, looking at I'll just go on record as well. One of the best NBL commentators is no longer with us, is Clinton Gribus.
Clinton Gribus, who could forget? Died from Stillnox.
Yeah, just
took Stillnox and died of sleepwalking, fell in the shower or something. Anyway, I won't go into that.
Sad story. He was great, really great. But if I was going to have Australian commentators now, I like Lockie Reed. Maybe my Perth
Bites. I like that Perth flavour. I enjoy
his.
Like Josh Garlop. I'm going to throw that name out there. When he did games, when it was Lockie, Josh Garlop and Sean Redditch, a little bit too much of a Wildcat streak, but I like the way Josh Garlop writes about the game and the way he comments. I like him.
He's good, yeah. Young guy too. Yep.
Young guy too.
We need to blood some new talent, so it's good to get him on board. I still enjoy Andrew Gaze. I think I know all of Andrew Gaze's stories now, but it's like listening to your dad or your granddad.
Media darling. Got to be there, naturally. Yeah,
he's funny. He's never short of a word, can fill a silence. He's good to have.
Shane Hill. Like? I like Shane Hill. I like him in the Sydney market too. I do. He can be a little brash. He throws it out there, but no, I like him. I do. I think his comments are good. All the other guys, he's a guy who will challenge players. He'll be like, why isn't this particular player playing well? I quite like Shane Hill. Yeah, you don't like him.
Yep. Okay. I feel like he's sort of said everything he could possibly say. I feel like he's gotten a bit repetitive now.
Right. Okay.
I'm sort of a bit sick of him. And there's a bit too much throwback to, and maybe it's the other commentators he works with, but a bit too much throwback to, when you were a coach and when you were a player.
Fair enough. Good. Yeah, that is true. That's a fair criticism.
It's a bit hackneyed at this point.
I think if I could pluck any couple of players to do commentary, I mean, the two guys who I would love to see do commentary and put them with someone with experience, this would be my dream commentary team to do it out of Adelaide or a spot that's a bit unique.
Yep.
Josh Boone, the recently retired Ty Wesley, and put them with John Casey. So you've got a guy who can, if they fluff their lines, if they're flapping around, you've got John Casey to stabilize it. Great play-by-play guy, covers a multitude of sins if there are any in a telecast. And then those two guys, Josh Boone, hopefully still in the game, but perhaps fresh out of it.
Yep.
You know the NBL well, both bigs, both speak well, both are funny and charming. I'd love to. And just the idea of them on camera, of Josh Boone on the right, Ty Wesley on the left, big tall, and then John Casey shorter in the middle. I just think that'd be fun.
Yeah, the most I know of Josh Boone is what I heard when you interviewed him on this podcast. And I was really impressed with the way he spoke. I thought, good get. And Ty Wesley, he seems really personable. Makes sense
funny.
To me.
Just genuinely funny guy, yeah.
What about Kevin Lish? He's well-spoken, maybe a bit too polite for commentary.
Too polite. Yeah. Too polite. I like him from what I hear. Never met him, but sure, here he's a nice guy. But no, I think commentary, you need to be a little bit more biting. And I thought he always answered a question where he's always surprised to be asked. He's like, well, you know, that's how it does. Bless him, he's charming. But no, I thought Josh Boone was, when I spoke with him, he ingested a question, immediately shot out a really good answer, right or wrong, whether you agree with it or not. I thought he was always really thoughtful.
Yeah.
He'd be a guy who bigs in commentary. Sean Redditch is really the only big in commentary. Oh, well, Gaze as well, I suppose. But and Chris Anstey is another one who I love. He's fantastic.
He's excellent. It's just Wordo, a shame about his voice. He's not got a great voice for commentary, but his mind is sensational.
It's got this raspy sort of tone. I don't hate it, to be fair. Everyone likes something different. But imagine if a Perth Wildcat commentary team was Lockie Reed, Josh Garlop, and Mark Worthington. I feel like that's the three. I like Sean Redditch as a courtside guy. He's got a nice courtside manner.
He's got a great voice. Anyway,
but the US, we're talking about US ones. We like Iron Eagle is a guy who I don't know whether I think he does a team. If you could pluck him away, and he's sort of got this NBA tie, but not one of those big, you know, you're never going to get Mike Breen. You're never going to He's a name who's around that sphere, but could be done. Anyway, now we're talking out of school.
What about Fran Fraschilla?
You know, great name. Probably willing to do it as well. Does he have enough of is he a sexy enough NBA connection to be worthwhile for the NBL is the issue. That would be my one query with him. But yeah, and get these guys occasionally to do special comments.
Yeah, anyway. Yep. The one other guy that hasn't come up, and I know a lot of people don't rate him. I really enjoy his commentary, and that's Cam Tregar. I think
he's really fun. I should have mentioned him before. Really, and knows Queensland and Cairns and Brisbane like the back of his hand. Imagine a team up there of Loughton, Cam Tregar, another big guy who does commentary, one of the few. And then, you know, then a play-by-play guy who's good. I don't know who's up there already doing it. But those three, that's a winning combination. And quintessentially Sunshine State, Cairns, Brisbane. I think that'd be brilliant. But
see, the names NBL, are popping into my head now. I've got to drop another two names, otherwise people yell at me.
Yeah, I do it. Come on.
James Harvey, he had a run. I thought he was excellent.
He was good, and he was a rascal in his day. Yep, good name. Yeah,
yep. And I know there's love and hate for this guy, but I like him as a commentator. Derek Rucker.
Derek Rucker. I was going to say the exact name. Really insightful guy on the game. Great interview. I think he'd be amazing courtside. Yeah. I think he'd be very good play-by-play, but his ability to charm people, get interviews, he'd be one who I'd like in that role especially, but definitely play-by-play also.
Joe Corr as well. What about Joe
Corr?
Hey,
you know, well, I don't want to say it. Stuff. I think, you know, if you wanted to get a younger crowd in, maybe a Twitch stream would be more my scene. I think I'd enjoy that. I mean, an Andrew Canyon, these names, you know, whoever. I had a question about the TBT and the Olympics, but let's push that to the end of the tournament when this whole thing's wrapped up. But we'll talk about that later today.
It's a nice tease.
Let's go into the games.
People keep listening.
Yeah, a little bit of tease there. It's more of a philosophical question about the Olympics and the TBT. Let's go to game one, which was probably the better game of the two. Actually, no, not probably. This was definitely the better game of the two, but that's not saying much.
If you'd said that at the end of game one, that this was the game, I would have been, you know, I probably wouldn't have bothered to watch the next game, but I did. I put in the hours.
Number 23, or rank 23, heard that, played number 2 overseas elite. Didn't look like it was, you know, number 23 versus number 2 all the way through. It was, heard that would, I don't think they ever had a lead, but they're only down 3 early on and even late into the third by my count. But let's start in the first quarter. I'll say something and you go, but I just want to say Joe Johnson was the guy through every quarter, but especially this one. Went to the bench at the 3-minute mark, and that's when heard that I felt first got into the game. Once Joe Johnson was gone, they lost their poise overseas elite. They just started playing heard that basketball. They started putting up shots they didn't like the look of. The pace doubled immediately once Joe Johnson hit the bench. How did you see that first quarter, Andrew?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I thought when Johnson was on the court, they were looking like, I have no idea, they're looking like TBT champions.
Yeah, for sure.
They weren't scoring in rapid pace, but they just looked so controlled and they were getting what they wanted. They were running their sets. They were looking really strong. And you're right, then he sat down probably around about that point. John Elmore started to heat up as well. And it was pretty clear that John Elmore was the key threat. If they could stop him, they were fine, or if they could stop everybody else and just live with him, they'd be
fine. I think they I thought they lived with him a bit.
Yeah.
I thought the guy they were looking to said, don't let this guy get off, is Ja'Cory Williams. And they succeeded in that. We'll talk about that a bit more. But
I liked the fact, speaking of Joe Johnson, I liked the fact that Ott tried to get up and in on him. Trying to body up with Joe Johnson. And then
Johnson
just blew by him.
Couple of occasions. We almost had... Ott was going to do the podcast. It's 14 hours difference between here and there. It was just never going to work out. But that was one of our questions to him. What are you going to do when Joe Johnson switches onto you and you're faced there with a guy who's made $250 million professionally? And it did actually happen. I thought that heard that were always going to protect him and never let it happen. But it happened.
It happened a couple of times. Happened a lot.
Yeah.
That led to some of my questioning of Gail Moore's coaching, actually.
Mm.
I thought maybe I had it later down in my notes, but I wondered about his rotations. Just didn't seem like he was playing the right guys at the right time. And I wonder if a bit of, you know, you have a favoritism towards your sons. And
I think he played around about the 20-minute mark, and I thought that in this particular game should have been more like 10. I would have made that change. I know they're sort of that D'Antoni style of, no, we're going to play it how we play it, and how we, you know, those Southern sayings that are the same thing twice. It's like, oh, the way we play it's the way we play it. You know what I mean? But I think that would have been one change I would have made. That's no offense to Art. I think he's the guy who you put him out there, if he hits a shot, you feel good about it, and if he doesn't, you know, you don't ride his hand by any means,
But and
nepotism would be too far.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. Yeah,
and I want to say, if there's still a chance for us to get Ott, I think we should try and go for it.
Bet
he will be a fun guy to chat to.
We will get him. I guarantee it. Definitely.
So we ended
ready to go to the second quarter.
Yeah, so it was 27-17 at the end of the first. Mm-hmm. Overseas late with a
in favor
10
of,
point.
Yeah. The second quarter.
Did you see in the second quarter that the first thing I noticed was they had Montrezl Harrell on the interview, NBA player. Two things I say here. Probably don't wear the sunglasses that reflect back your computer screen when you're on a TV.
I did see that, yeah.
But it was really great to hear him because I finally found a guy that says, you know, more than I do when you're on a podcast recording. He was hitting the you knows, made me feel a lot better about myself because I'm really self-conscious about saying, you know, a bit too often. So he made me feel good.
I'm trying to be more mindful of the pleonastic like. Oh, it was like this. I'm trying to cut that out, but it's very difficult. They're difficult habits to break.
They are.
This second quarter, it was all John Elmore. 12 points in the quarter, 4 threes.
Yep.
By the box store. Scores got to within three at the 3:45 mark, 35-38. So it wasn't like you look at the end score and you sort of, you know, you blow it off. No, this thing was close for some time. Joe Johnson,
it was
10 points in the quarter, 4 of 8. Yeah, just put up points in every single quarter.
He's just so solid. I'm amazed that he's not contracted. I know they mentioned
we didn't think he'd do this. Yeah,
but he looks ready, doesn't he?
He's not, it's not like he's overweight or even slightly out of shape. Does his game translate? That's for NBA people. I don't know, but
yeah. I'll tell you where it does translate to. Translates to the NBL. Can we get him in?
Oh, wow. Well, I think NBA is a bit beyond him. I don't think a team's going to go, all right, we need a bucket. Let's throw it down to Joe Johnson at a sort of free throw line extended to dribble and back a guy down for a while.
Yeah.
Unless that matchup is perfect, but it's not going to be an Art Elmore out there. It's not going to be a Jacory Williams. It's going to be someone, yeah, in the playoffs, especially a lot better than that. So as much as I liked it, I still can see where it's like, no, I don't think so. Anything else from the second quarter?
I was impressed. You started to see Coakley and Williams, Jacory Williams really start to stand out and just watching them, I thought they're the kind of guys that the NBL could be looking at. I think
Jacory didn't have a great game in this one.
He didn't. No, it was definitely Coakley. Coakley was the better guy. But I think either of them would be worthy guys to at least, you know, see if they have a place in the NBL. I like the way they play. Seem modest as well. Low maintenance.
Heard that. Down 6 at the half. We go to the third. The question I had coming out of this quarter is not actually about the game, but John Elmore in the NBL, point guard, 23 years old, 6'3", currently plays in the second division in Italy. I didn't know he was 23.
Is he only 23? I thought he was about
30. He's only 23. This is his first year out of college.
You're kidding.
Yeah, well, he's no, I kid you not, 23 years old.
Wow.
Can totally score. I think, but that's my question here. 23 years old, point guard, killer in high school, can score, run the show. Is he an NBL import point guard?
Put him at Melbourne United.
Wow. I think the system, if you're not bringing the Heard That, Marshall, D'Antoni system with him, not going to work. But if that's the style you want to play, like let's say Southeast Melbourne.
You
know, is he a sexy get? If you put John Elmore on a poster, do people come to NBL games? I don't know. Can he put up numbers? But as I said, that system has to come with him, I think.
Yeah.
And maybe even Gay and Art.
Oh, let's bring the whole family. Yeah.
Wow.
Excellent.
That
maybe that's the Hawks.
Ooh.
Would there be a regional, regional USA, regional Australia? I mean,
the problem is you'd confuse John Elmore and Tim Conrad. You know, they look so alike with the recede going on. This quarter for me, I've got it written in my notes here. Offensive rebounds. It didn't jump off the page. The end offensive rebounding count in the game was 9-14 in favor of Overseas Elite. But all game long, they hit the offensive glass, either tipping it, coming up with a few, obviously. You came up with 14. That's pretty big for 9-minute quarters, or quite a lot for 9-minute quarters.
Yep.
But they just grounded the Heard, that team. Like there was never a clean rebound to get out and run. Or the situation where a rebound just came off the rim and fell into their lap. It always had to be contested, which just didn't let them get out and play their game at all. And I think that's the secret against this sort of style of play where they look to, you know, get teams to shoot early, concede bad shots, get that rebound, push it out. So I thought that was the big thing that took away the unbridled freedom that Heard That normally play with. Did you see it the same way?
Question I'd have for you is... Mm-hmm. Do you think they did enough to stop Johnson getting the ball?
No.
It seemed like he was able to operate.
Well, it wasn't really anyone else. Like Pujetta didn't have a good game. He was sort of 2 of 10 for the game, maybe a couple of points. He didn't have a big scoring night. There's a couple other guys hit some shots. But, I mean, Johnson had, we'll quickly go to it, his end scoreline, 35 points on 65%. So when you say, did they do enough? No. They had to do something. Yeah.
It just surprises me that they didn't work harder to stop him getting it. The guy can't hurt you if he doesn't have the ball, right?
Mm.
Now, Ott looked I noticed that Ott looked knackered. There was 6:16 on the clock in the third quarter, and he looked stuffed. And then he got his fourth foul. I think he was trying to foul to just get off the court. Who could blame him? But I still, again, it goes to the rotations. Put a longer guy on Johnson and stop him from receiving the pass.
They kind of went to a zone to kind of cover up all those defensive problems. But the problem was there is that Johnson would immediately go to the side with, you know, Ott on it and post up or catch it. So it's tough. I mean, did they have anyone who could have gone with Johnson? They had to do something. I think they thought, no, we're going to play our game, and that was to their detriment. I mean,
yeah.
The other one I'll say is, and this is, I think, where they lost this game, heard that, the horror end to the third quarter. Do you remember this one, the 9-0 run that Overseas Elite went on?
Yeah.
It was 3 points before the 9-point run. Then they go into the last quarter down, what was it, 12.
Yep, 67-55. Yeah,
against a poised team with Johnson, who can a 30-second shot clock when he can take up 25 of it, get a fadeaway. Yeah, I saw that and I thought, no, chicken's done.
Yep, and then that led into my fourth quarter note. My one note, heard that just being overwhelmed. That's all I'd written. It was just
Here's what I had. Joe Johnson brought the old NBA to TBT, that early 2000s. He just constricted the game. When he had the ball, it slowed down. It wasn't the TBT when he had the ball. It was the NBA of his era, that sort of mid-2000s, where it was a little bit more defensive.
Yep.
The D'Antoni's hadn't quite took off with the Phoenix Suns basketball of whatever year that was. And look at these numbers. I mean, again, I'm going to give Johnson's stat line. 35 points, 65%. Led the game in rebounds with 7. Led the game in assists with 5. 0 turnovers, and used a full 30 shot clock on most of his attempts.
And he led the game in age as well. 39. Crazy.
Ja'Cory Williams, on the other hand, how'd you see his game?
He wasn't didn't have the same impact as he did earlier. I think they'd scouted him. I noticed one time he tried to go for his patented spin move and they were right there waiting for it. Wasn't happening. I think he was just overwhelmed. They knew they had to stop him. He was the guy, like you said earlier, they were going to live with the Elmore shots, but if they could stop the front line a little, they knew that Overseas Elite knew they were in a good position. So
Ja'Cory Williams, 6 points, 1 of 7, 5 rebounds, game high, 5 turnovers. This is what Overseas Elite do. They scout and headhunt a team's best. They did it with Machado.
Yes.
And to a lesser extent, Robertson. Now they've done it to Ja'Cory Williams. These have been their only two games. Have they played any others? No.
No, because
and I really respect their coach for it. He's been able to really isolate, like, all right, we may go down to anyone else, but we're going to play our chips on not letting Ja'Cory Williams get off, not letting Machado get off. And he's been able to isolate who the most impactful is. I don't know if that's so difficult in the TBT, but either way, they're doing it and it's working.
But they're executing on the plan as well.
Executing on the plan. Exactly.
One thing they say we're going to do it, but then they do it.
They knew with Machado what to do. They knew, let's push him in the backcourt, let's pressure him, let's really wear him down. And then with Ja'Cory, it was don't let him get to that left hand. Jump. Yep. When he tries to do that spin move, jump and make him go back. And it was painfully obvious that they weren't giving him that move. Yep. And that was it, 93-76. Any other points from this one?
No, but I thought it was fitting that Johnson hit the jumper for the win. If anybody's going to make the winning shot, the Elam shot, should have been him in this game, and he did it.
Game of the tournament? Single game performance of the tournament?
Oh, yeah, he was a one-man wrecking crew.
Yeah.
I think
and
not exciting. It wasn't thrilling, but it was efficient.
As I said, that old 2000s or mid-2000s pass where he just deflated the game. Like when he caught it was slow. When he scored, it was at a high volume, and he just clinically took care of this team. Sad to see Heard that go. Is that the word you use? Sad.
Yeah.
They were fun.
Let's celebrate the run they had. They were fun to
watch. They were great.
They
were great. And played good teams.
Yeah. And they
should. They beat?
They surprised people. What more can you ask for?
Money team. 6 NBA guys. That was that. And it was a real showing of you got chalk on the deck versus long sleeve, open collar, gold chain. It's just boat shoes and shorts.
Did you notice he was wearing
Shelto Adidas?
Gay was still wearing the same clothes.
Same outfit. Mate. He told him he only packed one smart casual outfit.
Do you think he's showered?
I'm going to say it's a 50-50 split on that. But yeah, Gay's had a shower. I think the only reason he's had a shower is so we can hang up that white polo and, you know, the steam from the shower can iron it out. So that's why I think he's had a shower. Let's jump on. Day 8, game 2, number 22, Sideline Cancer, number 3, Bayhome's Army. I just want to start with my first little note.
Yeah.
What was it? This is when the TBT goes wrong. this thing came off the tracks. Where had you see it?
It promised so much and delivered so little.
Worst game of the tournament? Yep.
Easily. For a tournament that has seen such great shooting percentages, it all just fell apart in this game.
I got a stat for you. And it wasn't just like one team routed the other like we've seen in the past.
No, it was close.
One team was close. And also, look at this. Combined poor shooting. One team went 4 of 27. The other team went 6 of 34 from the outside for a total of 16% from the outside combined. 10 of 61 three-point attempts. 16%. Dynamite. I didn't watch this game intently.
I was almost mesmerized by it, though. I was thinking, surely the dam has to break. Somebody has got to start knocking something down. This is just unheard of. Nope, you're right. Didn't change. And they had potential. I mean, you look at the rosters. There were some three-point threats on the court. It wasn't like they were a bunch of chumps.
No, far from it.
Eric Diewendorf was playing for Bayheim's Army, a former NBL player.
Tigers, right?
He's one of the first notes I wrote when I didn't know what this game was actually going to turn out to be like was that his shot is just so pretty to look at. Yeah. He's just got that perfect form.
He's Jim Rat shot. That
just watch, shoot, just because he just looks so fluid. It's fantastic.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe I noticed Keane, Marcus, it's Marcus, isn't it? Marcus Keane?
Marcus Keane, yep.
Had his hair out. Maybe that was an issue.
Yeah, I didn't recognize
Samson. Samson stuff going on there. You had the cornrows in the previous games.
From stories of old. Pillars fell down,
So I think he should go back to the other hairstyle for the next game if he's anything superstitious.
But second note on this, talk about, is it yin and yan or ying and yang?
Yin and yang, I think, are the...
Joe Johnson dominated his game with his NBA pedigree. Malachi Richardson, drafted 22nd in the NBA draft a couple of years ago, plays in the top league in Italy and Serie A, 24 years old, played with the Raptors, Hornets, and a few others. His stat line, I want to give this to you. 22 minutes, 3 points, 12% from the field, 1 of 8, hit 1 3-point shot, 3 turnovers. I think that was Marcus Keane had 5 and was a game high, but that's an NBA stat line in the TBT. So when people all through the telecast of the overseas elite game, they were saying, you know, NBA pedigree, you still got to show up. Yep. Johnson showed up. Malachi Richardson, if you'd pointed him and said, oh, that guy was not only in the NBA, but drafted to the NBA out of Syracuse, I would have said, you are pulling my leg.
Maybe he had a few too many Ian Jack Randys.
I don't know. This team, can I ask you this question as well? This Bayhome's Army team, they hated each other. This was a team. What were they doing there? They didn't want to be there. Did you get that vibe too?
I didn't get the vibe of them hating each other. I got the vibe of them just not really caring.
That's even worse.
Yeah, it's just saying like, well, whatever, go through the motions. Maybe they came in expecting to win, which is always a recipe for disaster. But yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they just didn't like one another.
I don't know. But there just seemed to be no cohesion, none of anything. It was a very disappointing.
Do you wonder if it's the bubble? Do you think it maybe you've been stuck in this place for 2 weeks? You are sick of the sight of everybody else because they're not even allowed to talk to other teams, are they? So they're limited to just what do you do when you're hanging out with the same 10 guys for 2 weeks? Probably get on your nerves.
This Bayhome's Army team, they grew to hate each other by the look of it.
There we go.
I really feel it was something worse. So Sideline Cancer went on to win this thing. I don't think we've got many notes on this. They're the only team from the round of 24 to make it through, and they're playing overseas elite next.
Crazy. The one thing, the one guy I'll point out who did well, but probably couldn't not do well because of the quality of the shooting. There were a lot of rebounds to be had, but Thompson for sideline cancer. He was
the Diamond Stone replacement.
Yeah. Diamond who? Who cares?
Diamond.
This guy just, he was just
Barry Diamond on the bench.
He was a vacuum cleaner on the boards. He finished with 18. 18 boards.
As you said, though, plenty on offer, but still someone's got to grab them. They don't grab themselves.
And did you see the block, the chase down block that he put on that guy? I don't know who it was putting the shot up for Boeheim's, but thought he had an easy layup slash dunk.
Nope.
No, sorry. He came in, swiped, smashed it so hard against the backboard, sort of caromed off the backboard rim, went flying into the sky to be retrieved. It was an amazing block.
So. Don't forget, this team marches on. They got Diamond Stone to come back. Will he come back? We don't know. Foot seems pretty bad. If he hasn't come back by now, he might force his way into the team to be a part of that game against Overseas Elite. But yeah. Marcus Keane didn't play great. Why do you suppose that was?
No, I think he was. I can't really point anything, any reason. You know, he was getting the shots he wanted. I thought he just they just weren't going in. It was just anemic across the board.
Yeah,
I just thought so it was 10-10 at the first quarter, 24-24 at the half. Then it was 48-34 at the three times. So Sideline Cancer doubled their halftime score in a quarter. Whereas Boeheim's only put on another 10. We went to the Elam, it was 57-38.
I know, the biggest discrepancy going into an Elam we've seen. And it was a target. Yeah, what was the target? 65 or something?
65. I think that's got to be the lowest target of the competition. Yeah, by
far. Normally, if it's not over 70, something's gone horribly wrong and something did go terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Commander Keane, I guess, is the guy. That's the nickname I'd come up for Marcus Keane. They're going through plenty of talk after the game. Did you see? Woo!
I didn't. I turned it off. I had to save my television from any more of that. So I turned it off straight away.
Well, why did I linger? I think I was sort of looking at some stats, and anyway, I could hear guys saying like, "Oh yeah," and I dunked on you too. So I was like, "Okay, I'll go back and have a look." Oh yeah, there was talk.
Really?
There was a lot of talk. Oh yeah, a lot of this and that. A lot of talk as Sideline Cancer ushered Boeheim's Army off the floor, and Boeheim's Army, for the look of it, just seemed to take it. We're only too happy to make tracks. I think. Sad.
Get me out of this hotel. Get me away from these teammates. I'm over them
again. Any other notes?
No, the only hopeful thing for Keane, he did hit the winning three, so maybe he can take that form into the next game. He certainly is going to
need it.
Yep.
But I worry, of the teams, I mean, this Boeheim's Army team was never going to make it, but with these teams with Sideline Cancer going through against Overseas Elite, it's clear to me that Overseas Elite are going to go Marcus Keane. Let's scout him anyone else can beat us. I think they've kind of got... If Diamond Stone can come back, he helps them. I really do. I didn't feel like he helped them. I thought he may have disturbed chemistry coming into other games.
Yep.
This one, if he can come back, he's a guy who can – he's a real pressure release, because if there's a pick-and-roll situation and they do a hard double on Keane, that's a good-looking shot for Diamond Stone, not so much for Thompson, Eric Thompson.
Yeah.
I think if they can play him like that, that's – and then, you know, can those guys – can Bo Jackson's cousin hold up? What's his name?
Creek, is it? Is it Creek?
No, Mo Creek, he stepped up big. He's one, but no, it's the other one. Is it Attle? Something like that?
Remy Abel?
Remy Abel. There you go. That's Bo Jackson's cousin. If he can hold up and actually carry the scoring load, they're a chance. Do you favor them, or how do you feel them against that Overseas Elite?
Oh, they're up against it. I have to put my money on Overseas Elite from what I've seen.
Big time.
The big question, if Diamond Stone, if he plays, and Thompson, if they can maybe slow down Joe Johnson,
that becomes the matchup. Johnson's not quick. I'd be only too happy having an Eric Thompson on him. And really, he's going to catch it with his back to the basket. Push him.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that big time.
But look, you've got to – Sideline Cancer, they – Boeheim's Army was amazingly the number three ranked team in this competition. I don't understand any of these rankings anymore.
Who did them? They've got a lot to answer for.
But so they've knocked off number three, but now they're up against number two. And this Overseas Elite team, number two, they actually look like I won't debate that ranking. That looks fair.
No. Who's the number one? Carmen's crew, because they won it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You win it, you get the number one ranking.
Yeah, fair call.
I got a question for you, Andrew. Going into this next game, Sideline Cancer and Overseas Elite. Marcus Keane, over under 12 points.
Over. Over. He's gonna get more than 12.
Is he? I mean, I just worry. Overseas Elite have looked at the best player on every team and held them to well below average. Ja'Cory Williams was averaging 22 points going into this game. The one against them, the game before this, and they held him to 7. Machado had 20-something in the first game. He had, what, 10, 15?
Yeah.
So they held him down. Marcus Keane, imagine if he just defies the odds, handles the huge pressure, comes off double, just keeps hitting miraculous shots. That's how they win. He cannot have a slow game. Even if they've got Diamond Stone, you need 15 points out of Keane at a decent clip to get over that team.
Yep.
It's just that simple. There's just not enough guys on that team who can score. So it's going to be a fun game. It's going to be great. Heard that gone, sideline cancer, and they'll take that role.
Yep. And what I think that side of the bracket is the one that I'm really bought into. The other side, we've got Red Scare and Golden Eagles.
Just to quickly touch on that. Tomorrow, the schedule is Golden Eagles, Red Scare at 6 a.m. Eastern. That's 4 a.m. on the West Coast. Overseas Elite, Sideline Cancer, 8 o'clock a.m. on the East Coast, 6 o'clock on the West. I like Golden Eagles. They're the only team in that whole bracket that I've enjoyed. House of Pain a little bit.
Yeah, Brotherly Love were okay.
Not bad.
I don't know if you heard my lonely podcast yesterday.
I heard bits of it. I'm so sorry, Sal. I'm going to listen to it tonight.
No, that's okay. So I described Red Scare as the no personality team. I'm just wondering if you have a take on that. How do you feel?
Well, I've forgotten who they were. I couldn't name a single player on the team. No, I don't even know what alumni they are. They're not Purdue. That was
Dayton, I think. Team. So they're from Ohio.
I look at all these things. Golden Eagles, I remember Johnson Odom. Overseas Elite, Joe Johnson, Poo Jetter.
Yep.
Sideline Cancer, Marcus Key. They all jump off the page. Obviously, the Elmore brothers that heard that. These guys jump off the page. Red Scare, if you said, I'll give you $100 to name one of their players, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I've watched their game and I've just had to go to their team page and try and remind myself. Oh, yeah, they've got Ryan Mike Sell. For some reason, he's the guy.
Oh, Mike Sell. Yeah, he's the guy.
He's my Steindl equivalent for my mind. Apart from that,
looking at those games, if I can get some predictions for you, Golden Eagles, Red Scare?
Golden Eagles.
With any doubt?
Very minor part of doubt. Almost to the point where maybe Red Scare will bore the Golden Eagles so much with their style of play that they kind of tune out. And Golden Eagles just
lull them into
but no,
who's
Golden
more
Eagles, mine?
And then Overseas Elite, Sideline Cancer.
How could you not? I've got to say Overseas Elite.
I think who has a better shot against Overseas Elite, Sideline Cancer? I heard that. I really feel I heard that had the better chance.
You really think so?
I
think Sideline Cancer. I think they have a.
Nah, they've got the bigs, don't they?
They got the bigs, yeah. So I think they've got a better shot at it.
I think so too, especially if they've got Diamond Stone.
But they're the 22nd ranked team going up against number two. So we've got 2, 4, 8, 22 are the rankings getting through to the semifinals.
As much as we bashed the rankings before, they've held up okay. But not in when they've gone bad, they've gone really bad. And when they're quite good, they're quite good.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, Sideline Cancer, heard that. I just felt maybe heard that could lull them into playing their style. And for three quarters of that, they did. If they didn't have that horror run to the end of the third, I think things could have been different. But yeah, Sideline Cancer, the bigs, if you're going to beat this team, because, you know, none of the bigs for Overseas Elite have impressed if we're not considering Johnson a big, which I don't think more of a wing. But no, not hopeful for. What if you had $100, if you had $1 million bet, who's the bigger lock, Golden Eagles or Overseas Elite?
Golden Eagles.
I agree. Only because Sideline Cancer are plucky.
They could Marcus do something.
Keane, they could. The Marcus Keane, he could just shoot over a hand, just throw it over his shoulder and it goes down. Whereas Red Scare, as you said, there's no. Once they take a bit of a whack and go down early, they're going to dig their own grave.
And I really like Johnson Odom. I really think he's a solid.
Did you
player.
See the tweet? Did you see earlier on in the tournament? I said, "Oh, this guy could really play. He's not a kid; he's 30 something. This guy could play in the NBL." And he goes, and he replied, "I'd love to play in Australia."
Yep. I made mention of that yesterday. Actually, he's the guy. We've got to get him down here.
He would be good. 6'2", real strong. Ooh. And a guy who would play really hard every game. And and when you've got a 28-game season, it's not an 82-game season. Still, but it's still a lot of games and a lot of minutes if you're an import. You've got to play 30-some plus. And he'd be the guy. I'd put my money in with him for sure.
I think he could be a reasonable price cotton stopper as well. He's got a bit of beef.
You know what? I'm listening. And yeah, I hope the NBL is too. Do you think the NBL is taking this tournament seriously? Are they looking at this thing or they dismiss it? I get a vibe that they're dismissing it.
I do too. I appreciate the fact that it was mentioned on the last overtime and they basically stole our speaking notes. So they could have given us a little bit of credit there.
We did. Well, I don't think – we didn't break the mold with those. The first thing you think of with this tournament is, oh, who would go from the NBL? And the NBL should put in a team. How the NBL – anyway, we won't have that conversation again. But, you were saying?
Yeah, I don't think they've taken it seriously. Who knows, though? I mean, it doesn't need a league to take seriously, right? You just need a couple of the scouting team from each club to take a look and think, let's see if we can get this guy to talk to an agent.
It's a good chance.
So maybe it doesn't matter.
It's a good chance.
What else are you going to watch?
Exactly. And it's a good chance to have a look at guys who, okay, they're playing here and it's whatever, but you're still getting a look at a guy, Marcus Keane, plays high level in Asia. You're still looking at, you know, Johnson Odom. He plays high level in, I think it was Italy. You know, big guys, big leagues. Mike Dolan plays in Spain. You know, good chance to have a look at these guys.
They're not chumps from the hood. You know, these are legitimate professional players, and I think it's a good opportunity to see how they handle a bit of pressure, see what they can.
But also, like, can you – this is what I like about tournament play, and I really do believe in it. And I know Pujeda had a bad game today, and I still like him, but – it is a chance to see, because when you're on an import, you need delivery. You need to say, we're playing a game and we need production out of you. You can't just sit back, especially with the current crop of local talent. So it's a good chance to see what do these guys do when given the reins to a team and the need to play well is present. If you don't play well in the TBT one game, you're gone, it's over, packed bags. So I do like it from that sense of who's got the balls to kind of play well every game. And those type of players really present themselves.
Cream rises to the top.
And guys who over, you can see guys who overplay a bit. Like Marcus Keane, the NBL, I think he would be a guy who may tend to, he'd shoot you in and out of games a little bit. I still like that about him, but you'd need to rein him in sometimes.
Yep.
Andrew, I think that brings us to the end. I've already spoken about the games for tomorrow. I think that's it.
Yeah, they're both on tomorrow. So, and then they both have one day break to prepare for the grand final.
Looking forward to the day's break. We've earned the day's break. I've already had one, but
It was not the same. Let me just say, it was a grind doing it by myself.
It's different, isn't it?
Definitely need
fun. I'm really excited. Like, if you're just tuning into this thing, or you're just listening to this podcast following the tournament, jump on to KO. I think it's $25 a month. Cancel anytime. It's fun. You find, watch them at your leisure. Even if you know the result, it's still fun with the Elam ending. You can kind of see like, oh, where were they at when the Elam kicked in? How did this go the way it went? Because some of these games I've known the result beforehand and watched them and still enjoyed them. So if you're listening out there, get involved, because it's a lot of people would dismiss this thing as being sort of silly or a little bit a bit of a rabble, but it's not like that. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, look, pick up any game except for Beheim's Army versus Sideline Cancer. Any other game, watch it, and you'll enjoy it. It's good. It's a good style of play. And it's fun to watch.
Nine-minute quarters. One game, bang, and you're done. And KO does it pretty well, where you can jump in and out, and so does ESPN, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Andrew, any parting words?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing the results tomorrow and talking to you about them.
Final. The final was so close. All right, well, there you go.
Taste it.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Once more, follow me and Andrew on Twitter. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And if you're in the business of buying a book, use booktopia.com via the link in the description. Thanks very much, and I will see you next time.